Are there any questions anyone has? I know I talk nonstop, so I'll let the music stop for a moment. Yes.
So as far as observing your own specialness, what happens is I see that I'm observing my own specialness and then trying not to be special, and then it's just...
It's the worst thing you could
do. It's the worst thing, yeah. So there's basically nothing we can do.
You got it. That's right. There's nothing to do except look at what you're doing and smile sweetly at your insanity.
Yes.
See, if you try not to be special, it will never work, because if you try not to be special, you're already coming from the premise that you are special. You know, it was the same point I made earlier, that the reason we feel so alone is because we perceive differences. Because that's what got us out of heaven in the first place. And so the way we try to counteract the feeling of aloneness is we join with somebody else, because that person will give us what we need, which means we're already seeing that person as different. So the answer really is the problem. So when I say I'm going to try not to be special, which seems to be the answer to my problem, I'm already saying I'm damn special, which means I just keep going around and around, and it never works that way. The only way you can do it, which we'll talk about later on when we discuss Jesus' orchestra, is to stand outside of the dream. Then you look at the specialness, and then you see how silly it is as a solution. Then you automatically give it up, because it's so silly, it doesn't work. But you won't know it doesn't work until you actually watch it work. And then you realize it doesn't work. And then you say, well, you know, I've done this all my life. I've tried one special relationship after another, you know, one bottle of scotch after another, one shot of cocaine after another, and it doesn't work. It doesn't make me happy. It doesn't give me peace. In fact, it's ruined my life. And when I finally can see that and then begin to say I deserve better than that and mean that, then it'll drop away. You know, that's why the line I always quote about forgiveness, that it is still and quietly does nothing. He looks and waits and judges not. It does nothing. But intrinsic to the looking is that you don't judge. And you don't try and change anything. It's still. It's quiet. It does nothing. It looks and waits and judges not. So you look at your ego in action, or do you shift to the metaphor of the orchestra? You listen to the ego's orchestra, and you don't judge it. The only judgment you make is saying, this is awful. I mean, this is not the sounds I want to listen to.
And you're not guilty for doing it?
Huh?
The tendency is to feel then guilty for doing it.
That's the tendency. Right. That's the problem. I mean, that is the problem. That's why what's so important about looking is you don't judge. I mean, guilt is a judgment. So, again, forgiveness is still and quietly does nothing. I mean, he looks and waits and judges not. But you have to look. And you have to look at it until it nauseates you so that you say, I don't want to do this. To keep to the theme of music, some of you who know Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, Beethoven had a tremendous problem in bridging the gap between the first three movements, which are incredible music, to the fourth movement, which is when he introduces the singing. And he didn't know how to bridge the gap. He didn't know how to get from the first three movements to the fourth. And the way he solved the problem was he brings back themes from the first three movements. And then he has the bass sing, not these sounds. Friends, not these sounds. Let us rather hear more cheerful and joyful sounds. And that ushers in the whole wonderful last movement. But that's what we have to say to the ego. Oh, friends, not these sounds. Let us hear instead more cheerful and more joyful sounds. But you first have to hear the sounds. So using Beethoven as the analogy, you have to listen to those earlier movements that you've lived your whole life by. And at some point you have to realize, this has really hurt me. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't need these defenses. I don't want to make addictions of all of these things in my life. I don't want to make everything special. I don't always want to be in charge. I don't always want to have to be in control. I don't want to buck every authority. I don't want to fight with love anymore. I don't want to fire God as the conductor. I don't want to fire Jesus as the conductor. I'd rather play in his orchestra and be happy than stubbornly insist I'm happier in my orchestra. But you won't know that until you let yourself hear the ego sounds and hear how dissonant they are, how discordant they are, how raucous is the shrieking. and because of that, how painful it has been to you. Then you could say, as Beethoven's bass says, oh friends, not these sounds. Let us hear more cheerful and joyful ones, which are the sounds of forgiveness, which we'll get to later on. Please don't try and change your ego. Don't try. The ego loves it when we try. Wasn't it at Avis that made a gold mine out of "We try harder"? Right? That may work on Madison Avenue. It may sell, get you renting Avis cars. It won't bring you home because the car you rent will not take you home because you don't get home by trying harder. When you try hard, you're saying there's a serious problem that I have to try hard to overcome. You'll never overcome it. Forgiveness is gentle. It doesn't hammer down the door. It looks and waits and judges not.